ladies can sit on the couch. Make more room. You get the choice seats. I trust you all have gathered here because you're interested in hearing about Krishna. Hearing about Krishna is the actual recreation of life. We should not think that Krishna consciousness is involved with some kind of theology or some kind of metaphysical philosophy. No, Krishna consciousness is concerned with the eternal expression of the eternal soul. So it's not that we are chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna and glorifying Krishna now in order to get some other goal in the future. This has to be clearly understood. It is not that Krishna Katha, talking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. It is not that these things are like some stairway which will take you to some high level, and then at that high level you move on to something else. Unconsciously, many of you may think like that. Actually, this is impersonalism. To think that bhakti yoga is a ladder that leads to something. Now, in Krishna consciousness, the means are the same as the end. That means you chant Hare Krishna. Why? What is the goal? To chant more Hare Krishna. You glorify Krishna. Why? So that you glorify Krishna more. What does serving Krishna lead to? More service to Krishna. This is very unique. The devotee, the Krishna Bhakta, is not trying to go to heaven in the Western countries where Judeo-Christianity was prominent. People, they think like that at best. Religion means go to heaven. Even recently, polls in America reveal that like 80% of the people think they're going to heaven. So, in the Judeo-Christian countries, or what's left of them, they think about going to heaven as their religious goal. And in India, people discuss moksha. They want liberation. The Vaishnava, the Krishna devotee, actually is not concerned with going to heaven or liberation. This may be a little bit hard for you to understand because so many of you come to Krishna consciousness to escape material distress. We can take a survey here. Maybe you all are different. You know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chatra Vidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna. Krishna describes that four types of persons approach him. Those who are distressed, those who are inquisitive, those who want wealth, and those who want knowledge. Krishna, he's speaking. It's Krishna sociology. He's describing the different types of people. Everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. Politics, sociology, psychology. It's very fascinating. Now, I'd like to ask you all, how many persons approached Krishna because they were curious? That was the main reason. Not that you didn't have other reasons, but the main reason was you were curious about things like reincarnation or mystic powers or psychic development. Or raise your hand. How many? The main reason, curious. Okay, we have two. Three? All right, three. That means, now try to understand, curious is different from wanting knowledge. Curious means you just had some, you know, well, I wonder what this is about. Oh, reincarnation, interesting. Mystic powers, yeah, that might be me. Have you thought like that? Maybe, you know, you're thinking maybe you could bend a spoon with your mind. Yeah, so you thought maybe Bhagavad Gita was about that. All right. Three curious persons. Now, how many came to Krishna consciousness looking for wealth? Now, let's put that in context. It means you were looking for more comfortable living more comfortable living circumstances. Maybe better food, a better place to sleep, or living without working, or something like that. How many of you thought like that? Yeah? You're actually thinking, yeah, this could be good, you know, you get good food without having to go to work every day? Okay. One person. Any other? Huh? Just one. Okay. Now, how many of you came to Krishna consciousness because you were convinced, I have to get knowledge of the Supreme? I have a thirst for absolute knowledge. How many? Raise your hand. Okay, one, two, three, four. Again? No, you have to, one eye, one vote, most prominent. Are you for material prosperity or are you for knowledge? What's the most prominent?
Most prominent.
Yeah. All right. Okay. One, two.
Yeah,
three. All right. About five.
Stand by.
Now, how many of you came to Krishna consciousness because you were motivated by just being burnt out by the material world, or fried on material sense gratification, or distressed by the way material life is lived? Raise your hands. Yes, it's always like that. So, naturally, most people, they're coming to bhakti because they're feeling distressed. But you shouldn't think that bhakti yoga simply involves getting free from distress. Now, how do you feel when you read in the books and you hear in class that Krishna consciousness is not really concerned with liberation from material distress? How do you feel? Because if you come to Krishna consciousness looking for freedom from material distress, how will you evaluate your days in Krishna consciousness? You'll wake up every morning and check yourself out. Am I feeling distressed? Do I feel an absence of distress? That's what you'll do. We like to talk about the bliss meter. You wake up in the morning and you pull out your bliss meter. Am I in bliss like they said I'd be? Am I feeling any kind of suffering? And if you think that you're not feeling relief from suffering, then you start contemplating. You know, maybe I'm not in the right place. Or, you know, the food's good. The philosophy is good. But, you know, I'm not feeling an absence of distress enough that I should give up sense gratification. This is a problem for those who are looking to bhakti to get free from material suffering. Unless you feel strongly that you're getting relief from material suffering, you don't have enough motivation to give up your sense gratification. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the best of the four who approach him with these various motives, the best is the one who wants knowledge. If you want knowledge, that means you're going to try to understand how sense gratification is the cause of distress. You've really got to think about this. And then also, you have to understand Krishna. If you want to understand pleasure, you have to understand Krishna. That is your duty and responsibility if indeed you are a pleasure lover. Two things you have to deal with. What is sense gratification, and why does sense gratification produce distress? And what is Krishna, and why is knowledge about Krishna knowledge about pleasure? You've got to get these two things down. Everyone in this room has to do that. Otherwise, you don't advance beyond the neophyte level of Krishna consciousness. Now, it's true. We've explained this often. I don't know if I've explained it here. Because Krishna consciousness is so vast and powerful, if you simply treat bhakti yoga as a religious belief, you'll benefit. If you just think, oh, it's nice to be religious, and this bhakti is a nice religion. Yeah, I think I'll get into it. Because I want to be religious. I want to believe in something. If you just have that motivation. You'll benefit. How many of you have heard of the Sanskrit word Shraddha? Raise your hand. Okay. How would you define Shraddha? The Sanskrit word Shraddha does mean implicit faith, unflinching faith, but it covers a whole spectrum to the other way also. Shraddha can mean, just as this Mataji said, it can mean respect or just appreciation. That is the minimal or the entry level definition of Shraddha. Just, this could be nice. This is interesting. That's why Prabhupada told the devotees in Australia that if you're on Sankirtan and you just put one of his books in someone's hands, and they just look at the book and say, interesting, kind of nice, huh? And that's all. They don't even buy it. He said that appreciation, that respect is enough to give them a human form of life and an expert. They didn't even buy the book. I couldn't believe it. I played the tape over about 30 times. That's how powerful the Sankirtan Yajna is. We really don't know the full extent or how deep is the ocean of these things that Prabhupada gave us. Can you imagine these Sankirtan devotees? How many people a day are they giving the human form of life to? It's mind-boggling when you think about it. If someone needs to, they just take a book. Turn the page. Interesting. And then maybe Maya grabs a hold of them. No, not today. Maybe next time. Next time I'm passing through. But they just connected to their human birth in the next life. Just because a devotee took the effort to be there. So that is Shraddha, this appreciation, minimal appreciation. And then, of course, you go way to the other side, in which Shraddha means this unflinching faith. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Shraddha sabde vishvas kohe sudhada nishchoy Krishna bhakti gaile sarva kama kritta hoy. Sarva kama or sarva karma? Karma, yes. So, Lord Chaitanya says, Shraddha in its full sense means when you are convinced that simply by serving Krishna, everything else will be taken care of. My point is, if you simply have some religious inclinations toward Krishna consciousness, that will benefit you so much. It'll at least give you the human form of life in your next birth. But if you actually want to go further, then you're going to have to make some adjustments and changes in your life. If you actually want to be more than religious in the ordinary sense, you have to make some changes. Part of those changes that we have to make in our life is that we're more concerned with how the quality of our service is than with whether or not we're getting release from material existence. I know this is hard for some of you. Because we may have suffered so much, or we may have been so bored and dried out in the material world, that we just can't take our minds off of getting relief from that. And here you are being told in Krishna consciousness that bhakti yoga minimizes the value of liberation. Everyone wants to get free from material suffering, yet here we are being told that bhakti yoga makes freedom from material suffering so inconsequential. So think about it. How much of our life is caught up in trying to get free from suffering? And how much of our life could be caught up in simply trying to give pleasure to Krishna? You see what we're trying to distinguish between now? This doesn't mean that anyone who's practicing Krishna consciousness to get freedom from material distress is some kind of demon and we should kick them out. No, most devotees start out in that way, especially outside of India, because in the Western countries, Krishna consciousness is generally not people's religion by birth. So they come to it because of wanting some answers to suffering and relief from suffering. But you have to move on beyond that phase. You have to move into the consciousness that I should be attracted to Krishna and start rendering service to Krishna, because Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. I hope now that you're seeing there are different levels you can go to in performing Krishna consciousness. If you simply want to be on the level of religious belief, that's okay.
Krishna consciousness is nice. Yeah, I wanted to believe in God, and this was a good way for me to believe in God.
That's nice.
You know, we all should be godly people, and you know, I just wanted to hear about God all the time, and you know, I just wanted something to believe in, and you know, this Krishna consciousness, well, it just seemed right, you know, it seemed right.
And did you say like that in the beginning? Oh, you're all Mahatmas from the Sarva Dharma Brigida. Everyone was fully surrendered from the very beginning. Michelle, you were fully surrendered from the very beginning?
I don't think so. I preached to Michelle in the beginning.
What did I tell you? You're completely forgetting. You used to work at what, as an administrator in the sports bureaucracy of the Australian government. She was a sports bureaucrat, right? Very crucial department in Australia, you know, making sure the sports are administered properly. What did I? I must have insulted your job or something, didn't I? I probably said there was something like,
What
are you doing? Important? You're wasting your time. I remember you easily admitted that your job was a joke and you know, you didn't take it seriously. What was the department you were working for? Ministry for Sports and Recreation. All right. So, we need to go to a deeper understanding of Krishna consciousness. Those of you who came because you wanted to be religious or you were interested in leading a religious life, that's nice, but you've got to go further. We've actually got to understand what is Krishna and how Krishna is attractive. You're dealing with more than just belief in God. You're dealing with active, dynamic service to the all-attractive reservoir of pleasure. Everyone likes relationships, and you know how seriously you take your relationships. What about your relationship with Krishna? Real yoga, then Prabhupada gives different definitions of the word yoga. To link up, to connect, also to act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what we're trying to do, to act on behalf of Krishna. Act for Krishna's pleasure. That takes some training. It's the most fascinating goal in life, to learn how to do all your daily activities so Krishna is pleased. Now that is far different from just being religious. For example, when you read Bhagavad Gita, you see that on the one hand, it looks like Bhagavad Gita is voiding religion because it's about battle, it's about war. But then on the other hand, you learn through Bhagavad Gita that real religion is to do whatever Krishna wants. Now your understanding of Bhagavad Gita will rise or fall based on how you deal with Krishna. If you don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Bhagavad Gita falls apart. So Your reading of Bhagavad Gita brings you to the point of dealing with Krishna. Who is this Krishna? Why is he allowing this war to go on? Why is he urging Arjuna to fight? Isn't this just ordinary politics? Isn't this just ordinary military warfare? What is so special about this battle? In order to understand what's special about the battle, you have to understand Krishna. My point to you all tonight is that sooner or later you have to confront the Krishna issue. Now what do you think about that? You have to start dealing with trying to understand Krishna. Otherwise, there's so many nice religious stories you can recite. Like in Judeo-Christianity, there's so many stories, right? So maybe they're just, these stories in the Bhagavad Gita are like that, you know? The Christians had their holy stories, the Hindus had their holy stories. Maybe it's like that. Everyone should believe in something holy. How is this Krishna Tattva, this science of Krishna, how is it for real? How is it the reality? That you have to understand. And that's why you have brains. The brains are not simply for making money or trying to live comfortably. The brains are actually meant for understanding Krishna. The more you sink your brains into the Krishna challenge, who is Krishna? Why did he appear in this world? How is it that the unborn takes birth? This chapter we're doing in the morning hours is very provoking for understanding Krishna. Uddhava, he's going to describe the paradoxes of Krishna. How is it the unborn takes birth? How is it that the Lord seems to, out of fear, transfer himself to Vrindavan from Mathura? How is it that the Lord, seemingly out of fear, flees Mathura when Jarasandha is attacked? These things are meant to occupy our mind. Who is this Krishna I'm dealing with? The more you become fascinated by the subject of Krishna, the more you'll become free from material contamination. It is material contamination that's making our service broken and choppy. You ever wonder about that? Why devotional service, your service, can be broken and choppy and up and down? It's because of material contamination. So if you really want to dedicate yourself to developing love of Krishna, you have to do battle with material contamination. Yeah. Now who's ready for that? To do battle with material contamination. So many times we can simply feel, well, what's really wrong with me? I'm not that bad. I mean, I'm not perfect, but who is a saint anyway? I mean, everybody's got faults, you know? So why can't I just be the way I am and serve Krishna? I believe in Krishna. Isn't that enough? No. Bhakti Yoga is about more than just religious belief. Bhakti Yoga is about getting into the fire of purification so that you can present a pure offering of yourself to the Lord. In order to make a pure offering of yourself to the Lord, you have to deal with this material contamination thing. Now, these days people are so lazy. They've been so ruined by sense gratification since a young age, it's very difficult for them to get up the motivation to cleanse themselves. Those of you who are in your 20s, even someone here might be in the teens, anyone here in their teens besides Roberto? Yes. Okay. You know what it's like growing up in today's culture. Everything is injected in you for the purpose of making your brain dull. Everything. All your experiences as a teenager have been for brain dulling. That's the way it is these days. There's no doubt about it. You become sluggish because of all the sinful activities. You become sluggish because of all the contamination being injected into you. And therefore you lose the desire to clean yourself. You don't even care anymore. That's what the current society, the current culture does to you. It makes you so that you don't even care anymore. That's it? Yeah, I don't know anything, but so what? I can't control my senses, so what? This is what the current society does to everyone. No motivation to break free from the lower modes of material nature. Everyone has been taught how to be very complacent with their impurities. You get this kind of feeling that, well, there may be impurities in me, but they're my impurities. They're me and mine. And if people are going to relate with me, they're just going to have to accept me the way I am, more or less, you know. I'm sure we all make mistakes, but basically, you know, I am the way I am. And that's our attitude with Krishna also. Look, Krishna, you ought to be glad I'm doing some service. So just don't get too sensitive and picky with me. Just back off a bit, you know. You'll get a little bit of service out of me. Be satisfied you got that. But my dear Lord, I don't want to feel threatened by you that I got to become pure. I mean, naturally in my own time, one day I will make that choice. But for now, just, you know, bug off a bit. And this is our attitude. And therefore, we have problems sometimes with our devotees because they lose or they never had this determination to cleanse the self. So often, even here at New Dwarka, where there are so many devotees working so hard, organized very nicely for Krishna service, even here at New Dwarka, you'll see many devotees just drifting around like, you know, they lost the plot. Losing the plot means they can't figure out that they're supposed to be here for purification. When you understand that you're here for purification, then you're actively seeking all the time how to cleanse yourself more and more. I'm sure many of you here have wondered after some time, well, what am I doing here? Right? Yes? Should I really be here? Sarah, you felt like that. Yeah, of course. What could I be doing, you know, if I wasn't here? Right? It's not, you don't have to be ashamed. I mean, that's the way the mind works, accepting and rejecting. In Sanskrit, that is known as sankalpa vikalpa. It's the business of the mind, continuously. Accept, reject, accept, reject. You know the example of the girl with the flower pulling the petals. He loves me. He loves me not. You know what I'm saying? They still have that example these days? That's really old. Still? So, this is what the mind does. Should I be here or should I not? What could I be doing if I wasn't here? When you think about not being here, when you think about what you could be doing if you weren't here, you simply have to think about sinful activities, because that's for sure what you'd be doing if you weren't here. No way about it. Once you accept that I must purify myself, I'm polluted, then your preliminary work is clear. I've got to dedicate myself to techniques for cleansing. And then, you've also got to take an interest in Krishna. A great failure devotees make is not to have an adequate desire to understand Krishna. If you do not understand Krishna, you cannot understand what real pleasure is. And therefore you'll lose your vision of why you should be here. Even you may understand you need to purify yourself, but if you don't have an understanding of Krishna, you won't be able to push on with your self-purification because
Yeah, what am I doing all this for? Why am I going through such hardship? I know purification is good, but where's my taste of pleasure? I just scrub and I scrub and I scrub myself. Krishna consciousness, devoid of Krishna. Soko Krishna consciousness, devoid of Krishna, can appear like that. If you've ever scrubbed pots before in the kitchen, you know, you scrub and you scrub and you scrub. You can think that your own purification is like that. You scrub and you scrub. When does the end come? Yes, sometimes you feel that. When can I finally stop scrubbing and I'll just be me, lazy and free? We don't think that we spend so many births contaminating ourselves. Now we're asked just to put a few years, a short lifetime, into cleaning ourselves up. And in the age of Kali, we're so lazy. We don't care. But when you find out about Krishna and develop this eagerness to hear about Krishna, then everything starts to click. The more you hear about Krishna's glories, the more you want to serve Krishna. The more you serve Krishna, the more you want to hear about Krishna's glories. This is the life and soul of devotees. Two-sided coin. Glorifying Krishna, hearing about Krishna's glories, and the practical duties of serving Krishna. Of course, glorifying Krishna, hearing about Krishna is also service. So please understand these things. If you're going to be around, if you're going to go the distance, there's certain things you've got to do. So I'm hoping that all of you are interested in going the distance. There'll be different styles that you all choose. Some of you will certainly marry. A few of you may continue on as single. Some of you may choose to stay in the ashram all your life. Others may choose that, you know, after some time you want to start your own home and practice Krishna consciousness there. And you don't mind working for the privilege? There'll be different styles. But everybody has to have this active, dynamic interest in Krishna's service. Okay, so any questions? So anything, you can ask about it. Yes.
Krishna
said that. Yes, exactly.
Would it be fair to say that all of those categories are restricted? People come back to the water, people walk up to their physical strength, and like knowledge to the middle of the street, and what physical control.
As I said, Krishna is speaking about the predominant motivation. And yes, it's true in one sense that everyone in the material world is feeling distress. But some persons have as a predominant motivation, I want to know. You never met persons like that? Okay. Yes, I remember when you first came. You wanted to understand. That was your predominant motivation. It didn't mean that you weren't interested in escaping suffering. But Krishna is talking about the predominant motivation. Yes. How many here have read the book so many times? Raise your hand. Vijay, Vijay. You've read so many times? Anyone else? So many times? Herman, so many times? Yes, I've also read so many times. You've got to be smart then. What's a good example? You can correct me. But this is an example based on speculation about what it's like.
in married life. That I can speculate that you're with the same person all the time, day after day after day, and year after year after year. So it gets to a point where the newness and the freshness isn't there anymore, according to what you can perceive. And so therefore, you just have to go on based on duty. And then, once again, things start to appear fresh. Is it so? Yes, Michelle says yes. Anyone else is married here? And your husband or wife is not here, so you can tell the truth. You don't have to say anything else. Alright, so, yeah? Point is that sometimes to the senses it can appear that things are a bit, you know, I how many times do you want me to read Krishna book? I've already read it once. It can appear that way, but you know that this is just an appearance in my mind. If I go on reading these books, I will see that it was just my mind trying to cheat me. That was the same thing it was. That was my point. It does appear like that. And you're asking a very important question for older devotees, because it happens. Yes, you and I know it's like that. You know? Okay, we've been around 20, 25, 30 years. We've been reading these books so long. And no, when that feeling comes, you've got to push through. Same thing happens with book distributors. They're doing this, you know, year after year, year after year. Isn't it going to that airport every day? You go to the same terminal every day also? You change. You get a little variety. Huh? Airport. Oh, your life, year after year after year. It can look like the same thing. But what's really going to happen if you stick to these devotional activities? The super soul in the heart will let you see that everything in devotional service is always fresh. This is explained in the fourth canon of the Bhagavad, that the super soul in the heart of the devotee allows the devotee to see the ever-fresh world of devotional service, even though it looks like the devotee is doing the same thing all the time. Perception is controlled by the Lord in the heart. This is a very important point. When you think, and this takes some real self-will and discipline, when you think that, oh, it's just the same thing, you got to rebel against that mental speculation. So my point using the marriage example was not so much whether anybody's relationship was losing its freshness. My point was that there is something beyond the initial stage, and that something beyond it is based on duty and commitment, and that takes things to a different level. You understand that? Any other questions? Worshipping can have different levels of meaning in English. Puja can have different levels of depth. You can offer puja externally, but actually when you're offering puja, you should be thinking with your mind. The mind has to be involved. I am serving Krishna. I am serving Krishna's devotee. It's very important to involve your mind. So, it depends on how deep you want to get into what is worship. What is puja? Is it just something you're doing physically, or is it something that you're putting your heart into? Krishna says, manmana bhava manvanta. Always think of me. That means what you do has to have your mind in it. Yes, sir? They do. Well, let's use the example of a washing machine with the agitator panels. You know, the purpose of the agitator panels in the washing machine is to shake the dirt. So it's not a bad thing when the dirt gets shaken out, is it? Okay, so you got to allow that to happen. But our problem is we thought that we were kind of nice people, you know. And then we start seeing this dirt coming out. And you know, I know some people, you know, who took up Krishna consciousness, even dropped it because they were convinced that the Maha Mantra was making them into a bad person because suddenly they saw these horrible things in them. They didn't have the humility to understand that the Maha Mantra was just loosening the dirt that was there, which they didn't see.
So by realizing all these things,
then
slowly they go away.
By realizing?
When you realize all your insecurities, just by realizing them, they go away.
Seeing them is half the battle. You see the animal, you see the enemy, then you can shoot. Seeing the dirty things in the heart is half the battle. Then you can take action. But you have to have some desire to do that. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We're not Buddhists, you know, just trying to negate everything and kill all desire and well, you know, you have to see whether it's increasing your service or not. No, well, lamentation is sense gratification. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know that, but it's like
yeah, don't worry. This is our problem. We're attached to all forms of sense gratification. Yeah, it's self-indulgent. Oh, me, oh, my. Oh, I'm so low. Oh, I'm so horrible. Oh. You could spend the whole day doing that, right? You have to see that this kind of mentality is not helping Krishna serve. Yes. We can't be the greatest, we want to be the worst. We have to have some notoriety. I'm the most fallen. How would you like to be around somebody, you know, who was supposed to be, you know, helping you and in a relationship with you, and all the time that person should be talked about, oh, I cannot love, I cannot show any affection, I cannot care. Day in and day out, how would you feel being around that person? Right, so this is how we're going to treat Krishna. Instead of looking to see what we can do for Krishna's pleasure, instead, oh, I'm so this, oh, I'm so that, I'm so horrible, I'm so low. Lamentation is spiritual and it leads to an increase in service. Therefore, if you ever read the prayers and songs by Narottam Das Thakur, they're lamentations. But they're pure because they lead to an increase in service, that's all. If you think you've offended a devotee, then you do something to counteract that.
What is the difference?
I understand.
How do you know if you're doing karma yoga or bhakti yoga?
Karma yoga is nothing to be ashamed of. Karma yoga means you're attached to acting a certain way, but you're going to give Krishna the results. So, you don't have to be ashamed if you're doing karma yoga. There's a subtle difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is when you're not attached to the results or what you're doing. Sometimes we have to gradually progress towards bhakti yoga. We should not be ashamed of karma yoga. But we should know the full understanding of bhakti, which also includes karma yoga. We can make progress towards pure bhakti yoga. I think right now you're doing okay. You'll have to persecute yourself. Yes.
Sometimes I have problems chanting my japa and things are coming in my mind other than the holy name. And I really try with what I think is determination, you know, to sit and, you know, I tell myself, you know, I try really hard to just, you know, clear everything out of my brain, you know, except, you know, Krishna's name. And then even though I'm endeavoring so much still on some days, you know, some days it's good and some days it's,
yeah,
it's not. Some days the things that come to my mind anyway. Mm-hmm.